Good morning and welcome. Peter can't be with us this morning because unfortunately somebody in his family's tested positive, so for the while we're just taking advice on that. So you've got substitutions of Chris and me today, so we'll just follow through the service now. Welcome. It's lovely to see you all, although you're all quite a long way back, but it is lovely to see you all here today. Just got a couple of notices before we follow through with worship today. First of all, really exciting news, and just to embarrass some people at the back, you may have seen that Simon and Ellie got engaged during the week, so that's really good news. Congratulations, we wish you all the best for the future, we wish you all the best for your planning of when you get married and everything, so congratulations. The other information is about the party next week for Eddie's leaving do. We're asked to all bring chairs with us if you're coming. Please don't park in the car park and, you know, try and park sensibly in other places. And Peter would really, really like to hear from you if you are happy to be a steward on the bouncy castle, because we need somebody stewarding for the whole time. So if you could just do a half-hour slot to steward, he'd be really pleased to hear from you. So that's all the sort of business done at the beginning of the service. We're carrying on with our series, The Parables of Jesus, today. So Darren is going to be leading us in that. But we'd like to start by just calming down, quietening down, and reading a psalm together. So hopefully that's great. It's Psalm 138. So if I read the yellow bits, could you please read the white bits? I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down before your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called you, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Okay, hand over to you. And we're going to open with a hymn. Don't look too amazed. We're going to sing a wonderful hymn. If you don't know the words, you will certainly know the tune. O God, beyond all praising, shall we stand?
Sing the Lord's amazing, the song. Please be seated. Later in our service, Ellie is going to lead us in our general intercessions for the church, for the world. But you can't have survived this week without seeing all the news about Afghanistan. And so what we're going to do for a couple of minutes is just focus our prayers and our longings on that part of the world. So there's four particular areas that Peter has asked us to think about. One is about the Taliban government, to pray for them. The second is about peace and that there would be no retribution. Third is for evacuation and the soldiers. And then the fourth is the world community and our response to all of that. So I'm going to, in a moment or two, we've got a slide which is going to come up with four different images on it. I'm just going to ask you to think about and focus your prayers on that. And we'll do that in quietness for a minute. And then if you'd like to call out your prayers, that would be great. So I'm going to invite you to stand and face towards Afghanistan. Now, I didn't know which direction that was, but apparently if you're on this side of the church, you'll be sort of looking towards where the pulpit is. So if you'd like to just stand and look in that direction, if you can. And then if we can just see those images, Ellie. Not letting you do it. Okay, no worries. Okay, that's fine. So let's just hold those four things in quietness, and then I'll invite you to call out any prayers.
We pray for the young children caught up in this swirl of activity. We pray, Lord, that it will not affect them too much in their later lives, that they might find peace and understanding through you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
For the women.
Yes, dear. Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, in the middle of that complex situation where there is such a troubled history, we pray for your people and your hand of peace to be on that land. In Jesus' name we ask it.
We pray for your Ruach, your spirit, to come over Afghanistan. And as we sang, before the service, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Come, Ruach of God. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come and that there would be peace in that land. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. Thank you. So if there are any youngsters still here, now's the time to go to your groups. And we're going to sing together some more. And so would you join with the group as Jane leads us?
Yes, we're going to sing a group of worship songs. So feel free to sit, stand, whatever you feel comfortable about, and sing behind your masks. I think the opening words of the first song are very telling in the light of our prayer. If faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. Let's have faith. Thank you. the crashing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand, and I trust you, I don't need to
Parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of your seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pray for Durham as he opens up this reading to us, as he talks to us about what it means. Just pray that you'd bless him and bless his words to us. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. 2 strange little parables this morning. And I know I dressed up as a wise man at Christmas, but I don't think that might apply now. I think before we look at the 2 parables, we just want to sort of clear the ground on our understanding of things. And I think, first of all, of course, knowing what a parable is pretty clear. We know it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But when the teacher asked Freddie what it was, he said, "It's a heavenly story with no earthly meaning." And we often probably heard that said. But that's a simple way of trying to understand it. So there's stories on 2 levels. Very similar perhaps to the way that we used to understand fairy tales. When a fairy tale was read to your children, they got the surface story which they enjoyed. But we know as adults that underneath there's some harsher stuff, and we didn't sort of explain that unless they asked questions. And that's true about the parables, really. That they were a story which were for the common people to hear, but underneath there was a hidden meaning, which was a spiritual meaning, which Jesus wanted to get through to the people. And the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom, Jesus said, has been given to you, that's his disciples, but not to them, his listeners. Rather like sort of coded messages. So we found out what a parable is, but I wonder what our thinking is on trying to understand what we mean by the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. It's interchangeable. Matthew uses mainly kingdom of heaven. Luke uses mainly kingdom of God. And a simple version of that is really to say it's the place, it's the area over which God rules and has his authority. But I found these words, which you see in front of you, which are more explicit and help us to understand something of this kingdom of heaven. It's the place where the sovereign rule of God is manifested in Christ to defeat his enemies, creating a people over whom he reigns and where his power is known. So in other words, God works through Christ in all that he does. Christ is the figurehead. He is the Son of God who came because God sent him to come into this world. And it's through him we know that the church is formed. But you might be perhaps surprised to know that the kingdom of heaven isn't just the church. The kingdom of heaven is the area of God's rule. And for understanding that, we need just to go back to the first parable of the sower. You remember that in the answer to that and the explanation that Jesus gave, which was fortunate for us, the man in the story is none other than Christ himself. He's the sower. The seed was the word of God. And the place where the seed was thrown in the field represents the world. Now, when you think about the things in that field, the seed was good, but not all the places that it fell were good. And so it had a different effect on the seed. In the good ground, the seed grew up and did well. In the thorny ground with its briars and weeds, it got smothered and was weak and lifeless. And on the stony ground, it just fell there and lay there until the birds ate them and flew away. So there was a difference in the effect of the seed, although it was all the same seed and it was all in the one field. Now there's another parable nearby, which we haven't looked at, which was a parable of the wheat and the tares. And that's the parable where a man sowed the wheat, and then at night someone came along and sowed the tares or the weeds amongst the wheat. And when it grew up, they grew up together, and the weeds smothered somewhat the harvest. But he was advised to leave it until it was fully grown, and then when it was reaped, they could sort out the difference between the weeds and throw them away and keep the harvest. So you see, that's a representation of the kingdom of God, but there was good and bad in it. And that's something that we have to just think about as we look at this story. And there are themes also in these parables. The particular theme that we see in the ones I've mentioned is the theme of growth. Everything is to do with growth, the growth of the kingdom of heaven. And even last week when we heard about the barns, because there was a great harvest, growth in all that was growing, and the barns had to be made bigger, there was growth. So we've said that not all is good in the kingdom of God, because not only is the church of Christ part of that kingdom and under the authority of God, but there are many other faiths and doctrines and ideas that are going on in that kingdom. And that's a bit like the seed that had no effect, or the seed that got choked. It wasn't all good. Some of it was bad. It was a mixture. And we know that in our world today, it's a complete mixture of what people believe. Some don't believe there was a God. Some believe in God in a certain way. Some believe in Christ. And some have other sorts of stranger doctrines. And you think of the time when Jesus was speaking, the things that were going on then. The Romans, they had their gods, their deities, men and women that they worshipped. They had also the planets, the moon and the stars and the things around them, which they idolized and made images of. And the Greeks, they had their own idea of who to worship. They had a god for almost everything they did in life. Not visible, not any use, but they were gods that they had created in their own minds. And the nearest sort of thing that we can call this mixture, other than the kingdom of God, is Christendom. And I think that's what we sort of understand by the word Christendom. It's a mixture of those who may name the name of Christ, but they may not in truth believe the same as you and I. So, what about this mustard tree? Well, there are many different seeds that produce mustard. Apparently there's one particular one which grows into a tree as opposed to just a tall plant in the land of Palestine. And this would have been the sort of tree that Jesus was talking about. And this is what he had in mind. This growth from this minute seed would come large trees. And the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, would grow mightily over time until it was complete and God was ready for the end of the age. And that's the sort of picture that Jesus wanted to plant in their minds. And Jesus himself talks about being within that kingdom, that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So we can see that sort of picture of all this going on. And from a church point of view and from a Christian point of view, we can see how growth took place. We know at Pentecost that there are at least 3,000 people who came to believe in Jesus Christ and who he was. And I'm sure that was a minimum number. And we know in our world today that there are many crusades that are being held in Africa. And many people are coming to trust in Christ. And their lives are being changed and blessed as a result of believing who he is. And even in China, where everything is restricted and true Christians are not allowed to meet together, there are many who are coming to know the Lord. Many who hide their Bibles until they get them out to read them, and then they put them away because of the authorities. We know places where God blesses particularly, and many people come to trust in Christ. So within that kingdom, there is this growth that is happening, and it will continue because it's in the hands of Christ. Now, it also tells us that Jesus says in this parable that the trees of the air came and perched in its branches. We sort of say, so what? Why is that put in there? Well, it seems that various people who have looked at the scriptures and studied them have come to believe that that's a sort of significant picture, which is quite strange, because the idea is believed generally that the birds are presenting a sort of picture of evil. Not that God hates birds because he created them, but this is being used in a picture, in an allegory of a parable. Do you remember in the parable of the sower, it was the birds who came along and ate all the seeds? And there are other passages in the Bible which God refers to in a sort of deferential manner, because he wants to get over a sort of picture to the people that he's talking about. And you see, these birds who gathered in the trees knew that when the flowers had died and the seeds had come, before it was made into mustard, there'd be a great harvest for them, and they would love it, and that would destroy the fruit of the tree. And we get that suggestion in some of the other parables as well. You see, like the wheat and the tares, there's still that idea of God's blessing and it being spoilt by evil. God overcomes, but we have to realise and recognise, as I'm sure we do, that things are not easy, and they're not just in the hands of God to do exactly what he wants, because he has given mankind free will. And that's the cause, really, of all our problems in the world today. God decided in his goodness that he would allow us to be able to make our own decisions. And we see the mess that the world is in as a result of it. People who think of themselves first, governments and leaders who pocket their own gains, people who make money for themselves and are corrupt, and those who are at the other end of the scale have nothing. And we see that there's so much which man thinks that he can control and manage, and yet he can't. It's God's kingdom. God always says, so far and no further, as he did with the Berlin Wall. So far and no further. And even in the problem that we have of the problem in the world we have at the moment of climate change, in a way, man has forgotten God. He hasn't turned to God. He doesn't even believe in God. He just believes that he, in his skill and words, can do enough to overcome this problem. And we as Christians and in Christian churches need to link up with God and recognize that he is the one in control who has the power. And I'm glad of that, because I know that because he has everything in his hands, I can feel secure in my life. Just as looking at your life as the boat on the Sea of Galilee, with Christ in the boat, you can fear nothing. The waves may be great, but he could calm them. That's the power of our Christ, our Lord Jesus. That's the power that he has working on behalf of God in this world and in this kingdom. I wonder if you've ever experienced in your life, maybe before you came a true Christian, that you may have gone to some sort of group or convention or crusade, and you heard the word of God preached, and you felt that feeling from the call to go down to the front, as often happened, and to say that you wanted to become a Christian. Maybe you took a friend with you as well. And perhaps after a couple of weeks, it all seemed to sort of disappear and had no reality. No change had happened in your life. And that's a bit like a seed that was snatched away. It didn't last very long, because it really wasn't sort of that fixed. We need to come to trust in Christ and believe in his power to be able to change us and to keep us from the evil influences that are around, because there are many. And that's something that you may have known in your life, and it's something that can easily happen. And as we get older, even as Christians, we can get sort of pulled away into other things that we find enjoyable for the time. And we realise that we're fighting against a battle in our own lives between good and evil. And if we become a Christian, it's not that we shall lose our faith and we shall not know salvation. This is within our lives, even as Christians. We can know this battle. So how much harder is it for those who as yet do not know Christ? So in this kingdom, there is much that's going on. And I believe we need to pray, as we do, for the people of the world, and to always recognise God is the one who is in control, and he works through Christ. And then moving on to the other strange little parable, the parable of the yeast or the leaven. You read that this woman takes the yeast and she puts it into the flour and she moulds it and then allows it to rise, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So in that sense, it's a picture, again, of the growth of the kingdom. But there's a strange point to the story, and we have to, again, understand the situation, particularly in the days when Jesus was telling these stories, of the fact that there are many, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the Herodians, who were all against Jesus and his teaching, because they wanted to make their own rules, finite rules which were absolutely ridiculous. And Jesus was always getting at them and telling them that they were liars, they were not doing the truth, they were not helping the people that they were supposed to be leading. And leaven in the Bible, yeast in the Bible, usually refers to evil. And if you look up for yourself and follow it through, I hope that you'll find that to be true. Because Jesus himself said that he talked about the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Herodians. In other words, there was badness in what they were preaching and what they were teaching. It was not really God's word or God's mind. And even back in the days when the slaves were being released from Egypt, they were told to make unleavened bread, because if they put yeast in the bread, it would take ages for it to rise, and maybe it would be too late for them to escape. Now, there it wasn't such an evil influence, but it was talked about as something to leave out of the bread. And that's the suggestion that is generally believed about the leaven of the Pharisees. And there are things in our lives that are like leaven. They stop growth because they go wrong, and they have influences that affect us. And this is what Jesus was trying to point out when he was talking to the people, to listen to him rather than the Pharisees. So we have to be aware of false doctrines that might destroy our faith, that might make us think twice about what we believe, and make us to call upon God for his help and his power. Right in the beginning, when God first introduced mankind into this world, remember, the temptation of Eve was, has God really said? As soon as God had spoken, there was that opposition, and Eve was tempted not to believe what God had said. Some people preach that Christ is a son of God, not the son of God. And that's very important, because God said, as he opened the heavens This is my beloved Son, my begotten Son, in whom I am well pleased. My only Son. There is only one Son of God. And not either is he just a prophet. He's a prophet, a priest, and a king in some respects. But many think of him just as another prophet, and no greater than that. Some people cannot believe that Christ lived and died and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. They find that too hard to understand and propagate other reasons and interpretations of the scripture. And some people don't believe there's a place called hell or a place of eternal suffering and death. And all I can say to that is, if there is no place such as that, why did God send his Son into this world to go through all that he went through and to die on a cross for you and for me if there is nothing to save us from? And to me, that gives me the answer that there is something real in what God said and what Jesus spoke about as well. And that's why we trust in Christ and believe his word. And that's what part of salvation is about, being saved from eternal death and having that true promise of life. And so we find that those are some of the things that we can go wrong on. So as Christians, we need to overcome evil with good. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will use God's word as an inroad to people's hearts. We need to live our lives as Christ taught us to live, that not only within the church and its surrounding, but also in the world, the field, the kingdom of God. There's a girl who is you may have heard of, called Letitia Wright, who's a BAFTA Award actress. And she's committed her life to Christ, and she has problems as a result of it. And very often she won't act in certain plays or films because of their nature. She said, "I've had people tell me, hey, you should stop talking about Jesus. But there will always be pressures to keep things private that the world may not agree with. And I'm not trying to force anything on anyone. I'm sharing my truth because I probably wouldn't be alive right now if it wasn't for Jesus. I probably wouldn't have been able to cope. And if someone saves you and brings light and love into your life, you want to share that. You don't want to hide it." And I think that's true. And some find us more difficult than others, but we are a light in a very dark place, and we need God on our side. I'd just like to finish by reading a paragraph, a paraphrase really, living in the kingdom under God's rule. Is God fair? No, he's not. If he were, he would not have allowed Jesus to die for our sins. We would have had to pay the price ourselves. God is not fair, but God is just and merciful. Of all people, Job was the least deserving of the awful suffering he had to endure. And it took him a long time to be able to come to the place where he could say, "My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." It is often through suffering that we come to know God in a special way that would not be possible otherwise. When we look at the suffering around us, or in our own lives, it's understandable that we ask, where is God? Why is he letting this happen? And God does not turn his back on our sincere questioning, even if he doesn't show us the whole answer right away. However, we can take great comfort from the fact that Jesus was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, and he really understands. May God help us to think about some of these things that we've been considering, and bless us in our lives to be a blessing to others and to recognise the greatness of the kingdom and the greatness of the power of our God who rules over it. And may that help us to get a bigger picture of what God is able to do. Amen.
Just leading on from what Darren was saying and our prayers for Afghanistan this morning, I think it's easy to get overwhelmed with the injustices in the world, and I'm going to pray for a few now, but if there are other ones on your heart, feel free to pray for those as well. So yes, Lord, we just come to you with open hearts, and it's difficult, Lord, when we watch the news and we hear of all these horrible things going on in the world, to not get overwhelmed and to not lose faith and hope. But Lord, I just pray that we would know your heart this morning in the injustices, to know your peace and your love for all of your children. And Lord, we particularly this morning lift up the families of the victims from the Plymouth shooting, for witnesses, and for all of those who were involved in the police and the first aid responders, Lord, that you would be with them this morning, and as they, just tried to process this tragedy, Lord. And Father, we pray for Haiti as they try to recover from another earthquake, Lord, that you would just really bless them this morning, Lord, that you would hold them in your arms as they, just navigate another tragedy. Father, we pray for climate change. We pray that you would really just guide the talks that are happening in November, that you would help us as a church to really put the world before ourselves and strive to do everything we can to fight climate change. And Father, we lift up just all of those still suffering from just the devastating effects of COVID, Lord, for all of those who have yet to be vaccinated and are just living with it every day still, that you would really be with them and that you would speed along vaccine rollouts in third world countries particularly, Lord, and help us to not be selfish as a country and to really give to those who need, Lord. We really pray that we would know your heart in these injustices, Lord, and that you would help us to fight injustice in the everyday in Malvern as well. Fight for those who need the food bank and who are at the Octagon, just to name a few things, Lord, that we would, just really be praying for those people as well. And Lord, we just pray for our church. We pray for Eddie and Hannah and Oliver as they prepare to move. And we just pray that next week would just be such a joyful celebration, coming together of church family and, just being together again. Pray that you would really bless that, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity to do that. We pray for Peter's family as well. Pray for no more positive COVID. tests, that you would really just heal family members, Lord. And we pray for Dave and his family as well, that they would just be having a restful holiday and would be able to come back feeling refreshed and just ready to bring us into the next term, Lord. I just want to end, Lord, by just praying that we would know more of you this week, that we would be able to love others more and show them more of Jesus this week, that you would really be with us as we step out into our, just different jobs or whatever we're doing this week, that we would really know that you are with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So let's complete our worship service today by singing that great song of praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. We've dealt with some serious topics today. Let's go out with a song of praise on our lips. Sing like never before, oh my soul.
as we go into this week, Lord, would you remind us of that mustard seed, so small, that sometimes our faith is like that, but yet from it you can grow a tree. And the yeast that perhaps some parts of us doesn't feel as if it's reached all the way through your word, Lord, would you work it through us this week and help us to see you at work in our lives? And we close with the doxology, which is at the end of Jude, the book of Jude. To him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the one and only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.